Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. By the time we reach the last portions of the Sermon on the Mount, we have had many major precepts and principles of the doctrine of Christ given to us by our Lord Himself. There remains but two major points, both of which very logically form a part of this persuasive conclusion of this preamble to the new covenant of Christ, which is His doctrine, the gospel of the kingdom. Having preached what the will of God is, and having shown in a series of twos what our choice should be, He now warns against false teachers that would lead astray, offering strong exhortation to obey Him. We have studied the eight Beatitudes, which are the characteristics of those in the kingdom. We have studied the three similitudes, the three comparisons of the kingdom of God to the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and a city set on a hill. The difference between His new covenant and the old law given by Moses was discussed. That the way that God makes men righteous is the gospel, which exceeds all other systems, and is the only way. He gave specific teaching regarding hatred and murder, lust and adultery, marriage, divorce, the taking of an oath, when resistance is appropriate, and loving both friend and foe. Chapter 6 discussed the Lord's displeasure at hypocrisy. He gave us a lesson on prayer, where true treasure is, keeping the heart clear and precise, and He focused on God rather than mammon. The impossibility of serving two masters, and the providence of God. And the first part of chapter 7 taught the proper standard for making judgments, the refusal to defame what is holy and sacred, and God's ability to give man what man needs. We looked at what is called the golden rule, and the series of twos that we have just mentioned. Now Christ preached these words, as did His apostles later on, in the expectation that many would reject them. But He also knew that some would receive them and would live accordingly. He also knew that there would be those who would subject His followers to philosophies and ideologies and theories and doctrines that are false, leading them astray. So He graciously warns of such in order that those who love the Lord might be aware and might stand fast. Here is a warning in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Dear listening friend, a false teacher never presents himself as an enemy, but as a friend. Enemies are immediately opposed. They are recognized if it's announced them to be enemies. A false teacher, however, comes as a friend. He gains a foothold. He wins confidence of others, appearing among the flock as just another one of the sheep. But they are as destructive to the flock as a wild and ravening wolf. Satan can and does present himself as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. Deceptively, and with charm and personality and the appearance of sincerity and knowledge, the false teacher gradually makes his way into the hearts and minds of others. And how can one know a teacher is a false teacher? Friend, they must be put to the test. 1 John 4 and verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Nobody should object having what they teach measured by the Word of God. That which clashes and is at variance with the Word is false. We cannot measure with that with which we are unfamiliar, however. Discerning between truth and error begins with the knowledge of the Word. People without knowledge can be deceived and can be led astray. the ill-informed, the misinformed, the uninformed are easy prey for false teachers. Knowledge protects us. The ultimate destiny of the false teacher is that he is cast away and destroyed. But if one follows a false teacher, Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, "And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch." Jesus continues with the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Christ here teaches us the wisdom of obedience and the folly of disobedience. Having taught as he did, Jesus expects man to conform to the doctrine from heaven. There is more to following the Lord than just mere knowledge of His will. There is more to religion than just that of words. There must be the compliance and obedience, the doing of His will, the action in life. Not just any action will suffice, friend, but action that is authorized by Him. It must spring from a good and honest heart, but also it must be right as His will reveals it. Jesus shows the disappointment for any whose faith is merely verbal. We would emphasize that the actions intended to glorify the name of God must be in His name, that is, according to His authority. Doing as we wish is not acting in His name. There must be the doing of the right thing for the right reason. Action and attitude, the right motive behind the right deed, that's what Jesus is teaching. And building upon the right foundation is essential. No house is more secure than its foundation. A house built upon a weak, sandy foundation cannot stand when adversity comes against it. On the other hand, the house that is built upon a rock cannot be moved. So it is with man's service before God. There is no surer or stronger or more dependable foundation for life than Jesus Christ. He is the only tried and true foundation. To hear and to do is the way one builds upon the rock foundation. It takes hearing and understanding, comprehending, an intellectual grasp of what is the will of God. Then it takes following and daily living with obedience to do that will. Trust and obey is the only way. Otherwise, we build in vain because our spiritual house will collapse, being on the sands of human doctrines. How tragic it is to be given the opportunity to build on the rock, but neglect that opportunity for the paltry offerings of this world. When one persists in living his life his own way, the way of sin and death, he builds upon that which will never sustain him. His destruction is inevitable. And by this illustration of building on sand or the rock, Jesus presents the importance of all that has been taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Those who were privileged to hear this sermon originally were sufficiently discerning to know that Jesus taught differently from other teachers. They did not only marvel at the content of it, but they detected another difference. Other teachers and scribes and priests and rabbis taught the old law as mere interpreters of that law. They would read and explain the details of the law to the people, but they were not the originator and the source of the law. The law did not come from them, or even from Moses. It came from God. But it was not their law in the sense that they were the authority behind it. They could teach only what had been revealed. And we can only preach what the Lord has revealed. Man is not the authority. No man is the authority. But when Jesus taught, He taught as one having authority. He was not merely an interpreter of the teaching. He was not a fellow student of the law. He is the lawgiver. It came from him. It existed and had power because of his authority as the Son of God. The message had come from the Father, John 7 and verse 16. But he and the Father were together. What Jesus did, deity did. What Jesus taught, he taught as God. Jesus was different from all other teachers in that he was not just another rabbi or prophet or a teacher. He was the Son of God on earth, revealing God unto man and teaching man the revelation of heaven as the one who had come down from heaven to deliver it. That which he asserted to be true was demanding of greater respect than anything ever heard before because of who the teacher was. The doctrine is his. It is the gospel of the kingdom of which he is the king. Verse 28 and 29 closes, And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Friend, the source and the power and the support and the authorization behind all that Jesus said was Jesus himself, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of man. There is no higher authority. Hence the necessity for us to hear and to obey his sayings. Now, following this sermon, Jesus embarked upon a 3.5-year period of personal ministry, preparing for that great and notable day when the kingdom, of which this sermon was the preview and forecast, would be established. On the first Pentecost after his resurrection, his kingdom came into reality. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the apostles on that day proclaimed salvation in his name for the first time. Those who heard, believed, and obeyed were added to the church, the kingdom of God. They were the citizens committed to live according to this preamble, this Sermon on the Mount. All are subject to it. All are obligated to submit to it. Those in the kingdom have accepted it. And to ignore this sermon and to profess to follow Christ is to heap disgrace against this worthy proclamation. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.